take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Read a couple of verses, and if you stand to your feet, we'll read Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, and that, Lord, anything that's said and done would, Lord, be to your honor and glory, and nothing of ours. In Jesus' name I make my prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Psalm of David here, and he says, "Search me and know me and try me." And we're all in need of a little searching this morning. We're all in need of some trying this morning, and to see if there be any wicked way in us. And so, most of you know, in the last week or so, I made a trip to Haiti, and we were able to go down there and work with our friends in that country. And we had several flights to go as we went. Probably we added one more onto our itinerary as far as where we had to make a stop on this recent trip on the way down and on the way back. But as I was sitting on the planes and looking out the window, I sat and I looked and I wondered. I said, "I wonder who's the mechanic that's doing the work on this plane." I looked over at the other planes that were sitting over in the where you get on the plane, and I'm like, "I wonder who's doing the work on those planes." And you see all the rivets, Brother Brad and I. We talked about all the little rivets that are there. I looked at the engines, and I was like, "I wonder who does that work." I said, "I wonder who did the inspection on my plane to clear my plane to say that it was good for us to take off." I said, is there something that should have been done there that wasn't done? Something that somebody may have just glossed over and said, you know, it's good to go. It'll make it till they get to where they're going. Then somebody needs to look at it. And how often, I thought, do they inspect the planes? I see them roll in, and then it's like the people are getting off the planes, and then the people are getting back on the planes. And who's doing the inspection down there saying that that plane's good to go for the next round, that it's good to go? I know electronics are used and all that, and I know the pilots that sit on those planes, I'm sure that they've got their what I would call idiot lights and things like that. They're sensors and things that tell them that the things are right. But do they depend on a computer to tell them everything that's wrong with that plane? And while I think electronics are important, I think the trained eye is a wonderful thing as well, that knows what to look for that might be something that's wrong there. You know, most people, give you a little bit about flying. I looked it up a little bit because I got interested in it myself. Most people have heard the claim that flying is safer than driving. But statistically, this depends on the type of flight that's being considered. The numbers vary slightly from year to year, but there's one consistent result. Commercial flights come out ahead of driving, the commercial flights that are there. But the small personal planes, known as general aviation flights, they score much worse in that. There's over the fatalities for 100 million miles traveled, there was 1.47 fatalities on commercial airline or on the on cars. But commercial airlines only averaged 0.05 fatalities in that regard. Basically, what I'm saying is, this past week we saw the news that was tattered with those that had died in California. And there was 9 lives that were lost in that flight that was there. I know that there's been one that's been, but there was 9 lives that were lost in that flight. There were 7 others that were on that flight as well, that their families have lost a husband, a wife, or a child that's there. Every life is important, folks. Every soul is important this morning. And I'm not degrading or taking away from the soul that was lost there, but there's others that were lost in that as well. And we need not forget that those were souls that are going to spend an eternity somewhere. I know that reading the information from our Wings as Eagles, as we do the missionary, there are aviation missionaries. I know that the annual inspections are a requirement on their aircraft. And those inspections are performed by a qualified inspector. And I know from my previous work history, just the things that I do as far as work I did during my career at work and general maintenance of my vehicles and the things that I do at home, that an inspection will normally take you farther than you want to go. Basically, you're going to find more wrong than you thought you did initially when you performed that inspection that's there. And you know what? It's like sin in that regard. You know, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will take you to that point, folks. And that's why David said in this psalm, he said, "Search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me." You know, an inspector, he usually wants to find problems or faulty items that would jeopardize the safety or potentially lead to more expensive repairs. Thus, they want to fix those problems before they cause damages or irreparable damages to whatever it is that they're working on. In general, any defects they found, they cost money, sometimes a lot. They take time to repair, sometimes a lot. And additional items that need to be repaired are discovered. New and old alike this morning need inspections. So it doesn't matter whether you're a young one sitting over on this side, whether you're an older one sitting in the back, whether what age you are, you need an inspection this morning. And you and I are in need of a regular spiritual inspection this morning. Psalm 139 tells us that we need. David knew who needed to search his heart. And who did he call on to search his heart? He called on God to search his heart. You know, we don't call on God enough to search us and try me, Lord, and see if I be in the I'm in your will and doing what you want to do. You know, we come to a church expecting to hear a message to make us feel good, to say we've been to church, that we've done those things. But God, search me to see where I'm at in the faith, where I'm at, what I'm doing for you, not what my neighbor's doing for you. What we need, and as I read more and more and more and study more and more, what we need is just some more old Bible preaching, just what the Bible says. Search me, God. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. We're all wicked this morning. Our sin is filthiness before God. Our righteousness is filthiness before Him. And we need God to give us an inspection. God knew, or David knew that. And I think that God was more than qualified to tell David what he needed to know. Nathan the prophet didn't have a problem sticking his finger in his face and telling David when he had sinned against God with Bathsheba. And he told him, he said, God will punish you and those in your family for the sin that you've committed. But you know what David did? David immediately cried unto God and asked God for that forgiveness. And you know, when God reveals something in our life, or those wrongs that are in our life, we need to confess those things and get those things right with God. We need to make those things right with God. God is the only one qualified to search you and know your heart and your thoughts this morning. Your wife, your mom, your dad, and those that are around you, your family, they're not qualified to do that. God is qualified to search your heart and your thoughts this morning. God is the one that's qualified to do that because He is our Savior. He's the God of the Bible this morning. Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemes. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." You know, we much to do about sanitation and hand washing and the viruses that are out there. But you know what? We walk around all the time with an unclean heart and it doesn't bother us at all. We come into our church with an unclean heart and it doesn't bother us at all. Make sure you wash your hands. Don't shake my hand. I might get something. Don't do this. Don't do that. But our heart is as filthy and dirty as can be. We haven't got that thing right before we've come to church. And how many of you have prayed for the message this morning? I tell you what, the brother preached a couple of weeks ago, and being right and being prayed up before you come to church, praying for the message, praying for the one who's going to speak, praying for the singing, praying for those that are praying for others, and praying for our church that it would grow and grow in His grace and knowledge. May God give us a fervency and search me, God, and know my heart. Inspect me, God. Inspect me and see where I'm at. Examine me and see where I'm at with you. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Out of our heart, folks, out of our heart. Mark 7:21, for within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's down in the bowels, in the recesses of your innards, what comes out, folks. That's where it comes from. It's what's in you. Me and Kim, we often and talked about, you know, even in a child, eventually that seed that's in them, if there's bad seed, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. If you don't get rid of it, it's going to come out. Kids, if you don't get rid of it right now and turn it over to God and give it to the Lord, it's going to come out at some time. That evil that's in you will come out. And you've got to get rid of that. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Psalms 44:21, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. You can keep it from me. You can keep those secrets from those that are around you. But you can't keep it from the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows your heart this morning. He knows where you're at. He knows how you feel about this one or that one. He knows how you feel about church. He knows your heart this morning. And, you know, we like to keep secrets. And most of us can't keep a good secret. You know, with somebody tells you something in confidence, most of the time I try to keep that in confidence. But God knows the secrets of your heart this morning. He knows where you're at. You know, Brother Muncy said he was singing this morning and I had a song on my heart. And we sung it this morning in church. And that's just how God works. Heavenly sunlight. Man, I got up this morning and I was saying, praise be to God that the sun is shining this morning. I'm able to get up and go to church. I'm glad I can go. I'm glad I can go fellowship with the people that I want to fellowship with. I'm glad I get to see my son. I'm glad I get to see my daughter. I'm glad I get to see my friends. I'm glad that I get to go to the house of the Lord this morning. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And we ought to get happy about being in church and enjoying God's word this morning and just hearing some good old-fashioned preaching and preaching God's word. And we don't have to get deep this morning, but I tell you what, we can love God for what He's done for us. We can love God for His salvation. We can love God for healing us of some of the sickness that we've had in our life. We can love God for the things that He's done. Do you not love God this morning for what He's done for you? But sometimes a visual inspection just doesn't do it. We need an inspection of the Creator to reveal in us what's wrong with us and where we're wrong. God finds the wickedness in you and I that no one else sees. He finds the defects in us that no one else knows about. And sometimes we don't even realize that the defects in our life exist. Those defects are corrected by a repentant heart with confession and asking for forgiveness. Changing our mind. I told our Sunday school class this morning, repent. Changing your mind on what you think about things. Repent from it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need an inspection this morning. You're going to find some defects this morning. You're going to find some defects with me. You can find the defects in me. You live in the same fleshly body that I do, and the Spirit wrestles with this flesh on a daily basis. But once you get those defects identified and corrected, you know what? You can get those things corrected. You inspection. You need servicing. You know, you need to be on a regular service schedule. Regular servicing comes in your daily devotions, your relationship building time with the Lord through reading His Word, prayer, fellowship with your local church, all of which you have been commanded to do as a child of God. You've been commanded to do those things as a child of God. You may not like it, but that's what God said to do. And you know what? That's just the way it is. You can take it or leave it. God has commanded each and every one of us to do those things. And, you know, I'm just like the other guy. I'm not a big avid reader in one of those things, but God has commanded me to do it. And probably in the last year, He's developed more of a love to read in my life. God will do it if you'll put your mind to doing some things for Him and doing it for His honor and His glory and not your honor and glory. But you need some servicing. You know, most of us, we change the oil in our car. We rotate the tires. We perform the routine maintenance on some frequency. What's your frequency this morning on the things that you're supposed to be doing for God? What service are you providing? You can inspect yourselves and say, these things, there's some defects here and I need to fix these. But then you need to service those things and make some of those things right. You know, we do all those things. I love to work on my own car. I can't stand it. I have to take anything to a garage. Because the reason I don't know if they're going to tighten the lug nut up the way I want them to tighten my lug nut up on my tire. I don't know if they're going to strip my plug and my oil pan. I don't know if they're going to strip the oil filter. Do things that I wouldn't do. And I know how picky I am with my stuff. But what's the frequency that you service the things that are of God? Your prayer life, your Bible reading, the things that you're supposed to, your church, and the things that you're supposed to do there. What frequency do you do that? And man, we need to set some of the things straight with God in that. We have manufacturer's recommendations on what to do with all the stuff that we own. Well, you got a manufacturer's recommendation right there in that Bible as well. The one that created you give you a recommendation on how you're to take care of your life and how you're to live your life. But boy, we don't service ourselves that way, do we? We just let ourselves go to the wayside. If we treated our car like we treated our spiritual life like we treated our car, you know, we'd be in a lot better condition. Because, man, I like to take care of my car. If you've ever noticed, my stuff's pretty clean. Andrew will tell you that. And when it gets dirty, I'm normally going to get my stuff cleaned up. I don't like getting in the car and where you can grow corn in the floorboards and you can't see out the windshield for all the goop on the windshield and all that. I just don't like it. Now, that's me. That may not be you. But what God has entrusted into my care, I'm going to take care of. I may not have much, but what I have, God has given me, and He expects me to be a good steward of the things that He's given me. And that's how we ought to treat our Christian life as well. God has given me salvation this morning. God has given me a Bible this morning. God has given me a church to go to this morning. And I ought to be a good steward of the things that God has entrusted into my care. And that's called servicing it. So we need an inspection, and then we need to service it. But you know, a proper inspection wouldn't be complete without a thorough cleaning. Man, this is where I really like it. I'm a cleaner. I can get up and I can run the sweeper three times in a day. I don't know. You call it what you want. Kim calls it a compulsive disorder in my life. But that's just the way I am. And when I'm done sweeping in the house, I'll go sweep the cars out. When I like my sweeper. I've got 3 shop vacs in my house, and I've got a central vac system in my house. And I just like to do those things. And he's given me a personality trait to be clean and be in order. I like things in order as well. You know, we could get a lot more things done in life if we weren't so unorganized about some things. And things just laying everywhere. I don't like a dirty job site. I didn't like it at work. Boy, when the guys were out there working, if our job site was dirty, you know what? You clean that mess up. You can't work in a messy environment. Anyway, pick that stuff. I know we got to make a mess, but we just don't have to stay in the mess. Just clean this up and do what we have to do. And God expects us to clean. Why don't we possess the same attitude about our salvation? Uncleanliness. Just the things in our life, our Christian life. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We like to dabble over in that unclean stuff, don't we? Man, we just, I don't know, it gives us something, a little feeling. But then I'll cross back over here and, you know, it'll all be all right. I'll go to church on Sunday or I'll say a little prayer. And God said not to touch that unclean thing. He said stay away from that stuff. It will defile you. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse ourselves. There's a cleansing process that takes place there. When we ask God for forgiveness, the blood, our sins are forgiven, okay? God shed His blood in order that I could be saved, and I believe that, and I've turned, I've called upon the name of the Lord. But you know, there's a cleansing process that takes place there as well. When David there in Psalm 51, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, clean me, and I'll be clean." He said, "Wash me thoroughly, Lord." He said, "Create in me a clean heart." And you know, that's what takes place with us. We got to separate ourselves from some of those unclean things that are there. Psalm 51:2, I'd already said it there, and he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." John 13:8, Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." You know, if you're not getting washed by the Lord and cleansed from that sin, you don't have any part with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. God has to forgive me and wash me and clean me up on a daily basis. Man, I like to take a shower too. And I get up first thing in the morning. If I don't have a shower for the day, I just don't feel like I'm ready to go for the day. I like taking my shower. And sometimes at night that's just me. But God cleans us up too. And you know, I need that many more cleansings from the Lord on a daily basis. I need Him to wash me and clean me up all the time. Because man, I can get dirty. And this world can dirty you up real quick, buddy. This world, the things that you think, the things that you see, the things that you talk about, the people that you're around. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, be ye different. There's something different about us this morning, folks. We should be a peculiar people. And be different. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's wrong with us? We're double-minded. We want to live in the world, but then we want to try to live for the Lord too. You can't do it. A man can't have two masters this morning. You're either serving the master of all masters this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're serving the master of this world, and the master of this world is the devil. And he's the one that has control. Psalm 19:12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You may have the secrets this morning and nobody else knows about them, but God knows you. David asked God, search me, God. If there be any wicked way in me, reveal it unto me so that I can get things right with you this morning. You need to inspect your heart this morning. Once you inspect it, you need to do some servicing this morning. And then once you get it serviced, you need to be cleansed in what God has for you. If you're not saved this morning, I beg you, I urge you, by what's written in that very book right there, if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and repent, change your mind on what you think is going to take you to heaven. It ain't your good ways. It ain't the good things that you've done. It's the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you don't change your mind on where you're, who's going to take you to that heaven, I tell you what, you're going to burn in hell for an eternity. And I don't want that to happen to you. But based upon the authority of the Word of God, that's what will happen. For those of us that need to get things right, I encourage you to get things right with the Lord this morning as we stand to our feet.